Greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is indeed a privilege to be with you here, the congregation here again. Sometimes we get to visit you once in a while, seeing our son lives in the community, and we're happy to be with you, and also bring you greetings from the Amish Mennonite Church at Franklin, Kentucky. We're going to stand together and sing a verse or two of Room for Thee. I think we know it by heart enough that we can sing it.
Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. But in Bethlehem's home there was found no room for thy holy nativity. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, come. There is room in my heart for thee.
Last verse.
When the heaven shall ring and the choir shall sing at thy coming to victory, thou wilt call me home, saying, yet there is room at my side for thee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee. Oh, come to my heart, Lord Jesus, come. There is room in my heart for thee.
You may be seated. Title of the message this morning has to do with room in our heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not going to be going back into the Greek like we did in the Sunday school and determine whether the words that we have here this morning line up with the Greek exactly. It's going to be a very simple message and yet a very profound message that has to do with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I trust this morning as I look out across this audience, I'm talking to people who understand, I hope so, by and large, as you have come to the age of accountability, that you understand what it is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Were you giving your heart over to this lowly Nazarene, Jesus Christ, who the brother just spoke about a few minutes ago? How you came down from heaven and came down onto this sin-cursed earth for you and for me because of His great love. I can't comprehend that this morning, can you? Of the great love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that came to save a sinner like me. But friends, this morning He did it. The work has been accomplished, it's done, and now what is left is up to you and I as His people to follow in His steps as He has laid out the way for us. As God searched through heaven and found one willing to die, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to come down to this sin-cursed earth. And as I think of that this morning, I think of the great power of God as He worked among men. The brother already spoke about the Eden experience there. And where man fell, he was made perfect without sin. And he fell. God gave him a choice. He gives us a choice today. We fell. And this great and high and holy God came down and was there with man in the garden and said He communed with him in the cool of the day. Man fell. He took those fig leaves. He went over there and got those fig leaves and he wrapped them around him and tried to cover up his sin. This great God came down and he asked man, "Where art thou?" And he said, "We're afraid. We're afraid." And man came and this great God, this high and holy God that breathed into your nostrils the breath of life, just as He did into Adam and Eve, came down there, slayed an animal, the first sign of provisionary grace for us as His people, slayed an animal, took the skins off of that animal, and put them on the backs of Adam and Eve, and they were spared. What a wonderful picture of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ right there in the beginning. But as we look at this Jesus Christ, we want to see Him as we are commemorating in a few days. It has to do with the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I don't understand why. But as the brother asked that question, why did he wait till the New Testament dispensation for Jesus Christ to come into this earth? I don't know. Except by the fact that the whole Old Testament to me is proof that man cannot live outside of Jesus Christ. Amen? We can't do it. They couldn't do it, and we can't do it. So he sent this Savior as a baby, came down onto this earth, this sin-cursed earth, and died. And it came down and was born, the Immaculate Conception of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost. Came down in a manger. There was no room for him in the inn. Dear children, this morning as you're sitting here, listen to the simple story of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I was thrilled as we listened to it Friday evening as the children brought out some of the things that had to do with the beauty of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we just sang that song. We have room. We sang that song. We made a commitment that there's room in my heart for Jesus. And I tell you, friends, that's something, that's a commitment that we made. But as we go through this, we want to understand, is there room in our heart for Him? Room for pleasure, room for time, room for business, room for family life, room for this, room for that, room for a new vehicle, room for a new house, room for another farm. But I tell you, friends, what is going to tell the story, as this lady will be laying here shortly in the front in the casket, whether she had room for the Lord or whether she didn't. That's what's all going to count. You can't take a dollar with you, dear young men, this morning. As you're sitting here and your businesses are flourishing, the depression is over for a few years, amen? I told our people last Sunday, I said, we're not, nobody's hurting here. Nobody's hurting for something to do. No, if you're an able-bodied person, there's work to do and there's money to put in your pockets. But I tell you, what are we doing with those things that God has given us? I ask myself the question, 65 years old already, what have I done for the Lord Jesus Christ? Is there room in my heart for Him? Is there room in my heart for this Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And how He came and died and shed His blood that we could have eternal life. Room in our heart. Mary conceived of the Holy Ghost, the lowly birth. No room in the inn. No, we don't have room in the inn for the Savior tonight. No room in the inn. The shepherds, they came and they rejoiced. The wise men came to see from afar. They called Him Jesus. The brother said they called Him Emmanuel in Matthew chapter 1. Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. His father was a carpenter. His father was a carpenter. He worked in his father's shop. This man, Jesus, came out of the courts of glory. Came down here as a child. And subjected himself to earthly parents. And went with his father into the carpenter shop day after day. Helped the people who used the wood. Made the furniture, whatever. Subject unto his parents day after day after day. And there he was, calloused with his hands. Loading it onto the ox cart of the one who bought their products, day after day. 12 years old, they went up to the feast of the Passover. The parents did, and Jesus went with them. 12 years of age, he went with them. They went a day's journey home. Jesus was not with them. They looked among the kinfolks to find this man Jesus, this son Jesus. They couldn't find him. We know this story well. They couldn't find him, searched for him, and the third day they found him back in the temple. The parents left the group and went back a day's journey and found this young man, Jesus, in the temple 3 days later, sitting amidst the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And they were astonished at his understanding and answers. Do you have room for Jesus? They were astonished. They were astonished. Son, why hast thou dealt thus with us? His mother asked. Luke 2:49, he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? As we think of the life of Christ and as he moves on, John the Baptist comes along, shows up crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Jesus Christ is coming into his preaching ministry. Jesus was led into the wilderness there in the first part of Luke, led into the wilderness to be tempted for 40 days. Told him that thou should not tempt the Lord thy God. This man Jesus, as he led, the devil was there with him in the mountain, and he tempted him and tried him. He came forth victorious. He came forth victorious. He returned in the power of the Spirit and began to preach. What was his first message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This man, Jesus. As we go through this, I want us to consider, have we room for Jesus? Have we room for Jesus? He went into his hometown. He went into his hometown in Luke chapter 4, verse 16, and they picked up, they gave him the prophet Isaiah. And he was going to read to the people there, the prophet Isaiah, talking of himself. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? Is not this Joseph's son? They were filled with wrath. And they ran him up on the hill, and they were going to kill him and stone him and kill him. And he disappeared out of their sight. In Capernaum, they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. His word was with power. Do you have room for Jesus this morning? The devils cried out, leave us alone! Leave us alone! Luke 5, he moves into his ministry, calls his disciples. I think of it in Matthew chapter 4, there are 5, where he calls his disciples. He goes down by the seaside, and the Bible says there that they're mending nets. They're washing nets. They're mending nets. James and John are there, and their father Zebedee was there with them. Jesus come along. This man Jesus, who grew up with these fellows. Grew up. They went to school together in the synagogue. And in the places of learning, they went together. These men, they knew him personally. And he comes along and he calls them, follow me. What did they do? Do you have room for Jesus this morning? Who are you this morning? Are you troubled in your heart as it has to do with some issue in your life? We need to make room for this Jesus. This man Jesus who came. Yes, he did. And he calls his disciples and he calls them lowly fishermen along the way. And he says, follow me. What did they do? The Bible says that they left their nets. They left their nets. It says they left the ship. And they left their father. He who is not willing to leave father and mother can't come after me. Are you hanging on to your mother and father's shirt tail or coat tail this morning? Are you a married man and a married woman this morning? And you just have to be back home. You have to go over to mama's all the time? No, we're supposed to leave and cleave. Not only to the wife, but to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in our life. And there find peace and rest and strength and find communion with Him where we can move into the circumstances that come upon life and it will help us as we move along in life. He preaches His great Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. At the beginning of that sermon, it says that multitudes followed Him up into the mountain. And he was up there and he preached. I don't know how long it took. What is it? 3 chapters long, the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus preached that notable message to them. And they listened and they heard. And when he come down off the mountain, it said great multitudes followed him. And you know who that multitudes are? That's you and I this morning. And I ask the question, are we following Jesus as we should? Are we following? A lot of them, he turned around and he said, you follow me for the loaves and the fishes. But how about following him all the way to Calvary? All the way to Calvary. He preaches his great sermon. He meets the woman at the well. He's tired and he's weary. And it says he sits thus in the well. And he comes along this woman to draw water. This Samaritan woman. The disciples went into the town to buy something to eat. Jesus sat thus on the well. He's weary, and this woman come along. And he starts talking to her. And you know, till that time's over, you know, thou hast had 5 husbands. And the husband thou now hast is not thy husband. Dear lady, I'm here to save your soul. And you know what? That woman, it says that when he was finally done speaking to her, She left her water pots and went into the city. Listen, that's a notable statement. She left her water pots. The disciples left the ship. They left their father. They left the nets and they followed Jesus. And I asked this morning, you said there's room in your heart for Jesus. Is there? And she went into the city and says, come see a man that has told me everything that ever I've done. Is not this the Christ? Is not this the Christ? And I believe that woman became an evangelist for the Lord Jesus Christ. She was willing to leave all to follow Him. Somebody said something this morning about the straight gate and the narrow way. The straight gate and the narrow way. In order to become a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ and make room for Him, we must go through the straight gate. And when we go through the straight gate, the principle of that straight gate is that we leave ourselves behind. We hack off all that baggage that we're carrying with us. And there's a possibility that there's somebody here this morning that is looking at the world. And you've just come out of the world and you just walked out of the world into this place here this morning. Your heart's worldly. Your ambitions are worldly. That has to be hacked off in order to go through the straight gate and onto the narrow way. And from that time on, as we are on the narrow way, we follow the blood drops of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all the way up to Calvary. Is there room for you? Is there room for Him? For our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He meets the woman at the well. He performs three resurrections. Three resurrections, our Lord and Savior. Only three, and he was a part of the fourth one. I'll just quickly give them to you in Luke chapter 7. I'm not going to turn to them. The mother's son just died. They're on the way to the graveyard. And Jesus comes along and they had him in the coffin already, this son. He was on the way to the graveyard. And Jesus comes along and he stops the procession. And he touches the bar, it says. And he says unto him, young man, arise. And that man came forth. That man came forth. Young man, set up. There's something for you to do. Luke chapter 8, verse 40. Jairus' daughter had just died. Crying out, trouble not the master. Trouble not the master. The people cried out, trouble not the master. Jairus was looking for Jesus to heal his daughter. Or to bring her to life again. And he took her and brought her to life. Lazarus was 3 days in the grave. Mary said, by this time, Lord, he stinketh. Jesus says, loose him and let him go. Three resurrections that Christ performed. And then we see him in his own resurrection. He healed the sick as he went. She only touched the hem of his garment. 12 years she spent all that she had because of her issue of blood. And she had nothing left. And amongst the multi crowd, I ask, do you have room for Jesus? The brother spoke this morning about the sickness and things that happen to us. And we go to doctors and we do this and we do that. And there's nothing wrong with that, dear people, this morning. But I tell you, the greatest healing power, as it has to do with spiritual or physical tonight, this morning, is the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It's the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this woman understood this. And she's seeing Jesus among the crowd. And she walks in there among the crowd and she touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus stops everything. And he said, who touched me? And the disciples became indignant. They said, what do you mean, who touched you? You see the crowd and you wonder who touched you, Jesus? And Jesus says, no, dear people, in my own words, he said, virtue has gone out from me. I tell you, friends, this morning, has virtue gone out from Jesus Christ for you? Just this morning, as you got up out of your bed and contemplated coming into the house of worship this morning, did you draw virtue from Jesus Christ? And that He knows you did. Dear people, it's there for the taking. It's there for the taking. Drawing virtue from Jesus Christ for every aspect of our life. Every aspect of our life. The blind was healed. Blind there, blind Bartimaeus, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me, cried out as he heard about Jesus coming along the way. But the crowd said, you know, settle down, Bartimaeus. Settle down, it's just Jesus. Thou son of David, it says, he cried out the more, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. And Jesus healed him. And he casting away his garments. Follow Jesus in the way. A follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there room for Jesus in your life? Follow Him in the way. The many parables. The children Friday night. They spoke of one of the powerful parables of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 25. Lord, when saw we thee? And hunger, or thirsty, or naked, or in prison. When saw we thee, Lord? Friends, there's a lot of potential here for the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he crossing, is his shadow crossing your threshold time and again, and you don't see him? I have to go back and ask God forgiveness so many times. And we're at the end of the day, after the busy toils of the day, and you know that there's a shadow crossed your path and you did nothing with it. Friends, is there room for Jesus? Is there room for Jesus? As he crosses our path time and again, is there room? But are we like the little boy that was on the airplane and he got off at the airport and there was this big crowd of people around this couple and they were just praising him and doing everything about him. And this little boy got back on the airplane. He was flying by himself. And here he got to sit by this very important couple. And the boy, yes, he just looked right. He looked at the man and said, "What is all the commotion about? Why are you so important?" He said, "Didn't you hear what we did in Africa? We set up children's homes. We made clinics. We did this. We did that." What the little boy said? He said, "Did you tell him about Jesus?" The man became indignant, upset with the little boy. Yeah. Is there room for Jesus? Is there room for Jesus? How is your missionary mission field? How is your mission outreach? We must ask ourselves the question. We like a collective mission field. But friends, the mission field lies between you and the sinner on the street, everywhere we go. Always. The wandering disciples, turn with me to John chapter 16. They walked with him. They talked with him. He called them. They sat with him late into the night many a times. And they wondered at this man, Jesus. John chapter 16, verse 17. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, "What is this that he saith unto us, a little while, and we shall not see him, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, and behold, I go to my Father." They said, therefore, "What is this that he saith, a little while? We cannot tell what he saith." Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, "Do ye inquire among yourselves? Of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me, and a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but the sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come, but as soon as she is delivered of child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man child is born into the world. And ye now, therefore, have sorrowed, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I will no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because he loved us and hath believed us. I came out from God. I came forth from the Father and am come into the world again. I leave the world and go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and need not that any man should ask thee. For this, by this we believe that thou camest forth from God." Jesus answered them, "Do ye now believe?" They still didn't understand. The Proverbs were starting to go out and they were understanding some of the mystery, the question that you have in your Sunday school class of who this Jesus is and what is salvation all about. Well, these men, they follow him. Finally, it's the time for the Passover, the Last Supper. They go up through. They had the supper. They sat there. They supped together. Jesus washes their feet. There's one that had no time for Jesus, Judas himself. He had no time for his Lord. Peter said, I'll go with you all the way, even to the cross. I'll die with you, Lord, Peter said. But as they moved on up into the Kidron Valley, and I could see my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, as He led that motley group of fishermen up to the Kidron Valley, up to Golgotha, and as He seen them snarly old vines along the way, as it had to do with the grapevines that were probably cut back for the winter, and He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. I am the vine. John chapter 10, there, that beautiful scripture, Jesus taught him about the vine and the branches, and here he was going to his death. And these men were going to become the light of the world. God said He was light. Jesus Christ come along and said, I am the light of the world. I tell you, friends, in his Matthew chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, He tells us as His people that ye are the light of the world. Do you have room for Jesus? I tell you, friends, we will never be a light without Jesus. We will never be a light without Jesus. You can put all your boots on. You can put your plain coat on. You can put your big covering on. You can do whatever you want. But without Jesus, you will not be a light of the world. Will not be a light of the world. No, you won't. We need to be careful and we understand. And this message, I trust this morning, is something where you will understand. That I can understand more fully what it is to walk with my Savior. And continually take away this old self-life that is trying to crop up within me day after day after day, and simply walk with Him and talk with Him and learn to know more of Him as we go along the way. Do you know everything about Jesus? It's a very simple story. But I tell you, friends, the depths and the mysteries of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will never even be comprehended until we get over there. Amen? Never. Never. I remember my father one time, right after I got ordained, I would have these great big hard questions that I'd get into the Word, and I'd see these things and I couldn't find the answers for him, and I'd call him, and he very nicely the first couple times he tried to answer my questions for me. About the third time I called him, he said, Larry, he said, listen, God has revealed His truth to us as much as He wants us to know, and there's some things that we won't know until we get over there. But you know what we do? We dig and we dig. And we dig, well, maybe it's this way, maybe it's that way. No, just come back to the simple gospel of Jesus Christ and move on with Him one step at a time. Amen? I'm sorry about you scholars. I'm not trying to knock a scholar here this morning. But I tell you, we get off base pretty far sometimes. You know, we say we're an all, we say we're a pre. You know what I am this morning? I'm a pan. Judas sold him up on Golgotha's hill for 30 pieces of silver. You want to make room for Jesus? He sold him for 30 pieces of silver. He tells his disciples, all shall be offended. All shall be offended. He takes James and John with him, and was there another one? They went off to pray. They fell asleep on him. He comes back and he wakes them up. Come on. They fall asleep again. He comes back. Sleep on. The time's here. I'm going to go to the cross alone. The cross alone. Pilate cries out, I find no fault in him. No fault at all. Mocking and spitting and crown of thorns. You have room for Jesus? Hang him on a cross. Lay him down. Nail those nails into his hand and into his feet. They take that, if I understood it right, they take that two pieces of wood, and they tuck it up and knock it in the hole. There hung our Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, naked and unashamed before a world of sinners. And He came to be that complete sacrifice for you and for me. You have room for Him? You have room for Jesus? Listen, friends, we live in a really, really beautiful, awesome time in history. But people are telling me we don't have persecution today. And I'm not sure that we're going to get our heads cut off and stretched at the rack and boiled in oil. I don't know. But you know what? There's a serious persecution going on in the Church of Jesus Christ today. You know what it is? It
It's a persecution of the mind. He couldn't get us by killing our physical bodies, but He's taken them by the thousands, by the mind. It's all grace. Grace covers it all. We're going to go grace. I couldn't go to hell if I tried, I hear that say. Friends, it's a straight and narrow way that we follow Christ. And then He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Where are you this morning, young people? Are you here this morning and the yoke is heavy? And this man's up here preaching about Jesus and how he's just about getting to the cross now and you're asking me to open my heart? You said you would. What are we going to do? You know, I battled with that for years in my life. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. I was a young boy like you fellows over sitting here. I'd give my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ at 14 years old. There was no question the devil tried to tell me it was a joke. But I just potted on with the Lord. My father said, tell Him to get behind you. Tell Him to get behind you. I moved on one step at a time. But it says His yoke is easy. I'd read that in Matthew there. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. But you know what? The closer we come to a relationship with Jesus Christ, His yoke becomes easy and His burden is light. Do you know what that means this morning? Draw closer to Him. Open your heart up. Let Jesus come in. Come in there and your yoke will be... Isn't that right, brother? He told me He's faced more downtime than up almost in His life. But the only reason He could be here this morning is because He has a love for the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to put that confidence in you, brother. And keep on moving on one step at a time. He brings circumstance to bear upon us. He does one after another. One after another. Why, Lord? Why me? His yoke is easy and His burden is light. When's the last time you talked to Him? When's the last time you opened up your heart? You know, we say we need to pray. But listen, friends. Stop. Stop. In the midst of the prayer, get into the closet. Shut the door. And let Jesus speak to you. There's ministers sitting here. I'm not in my comfort zone here this morning for all the ministers that are sitting here this morning. Dear minister, what do you do when you get to the end of the rope? It's 9, 10 o'clock on Saturday night and God is asking you to stand before the people and present a message. What do we do? I was in that predicament here a while back. I was going to Bible school somewhere and I was close enough where I could drive and I said all afternoon, Lord, where are we going tonight? And I went here and I went there. And it was time to leave. And I didn't know what I was going to preach about. And that dear Lord and Savior Jesus Christ come along. He said to me, almost like in an audible voice, as I sat there in my study. And He said, it is I. Be not afraid. What a beautiful place to be. And I was struggling and struggling. But when I opened up my heart and let Jesus come in, there it was. What was the title of my message that night? It is I. Be not afraid. That can go for any of us here this morning. A close walk with Jesus, this immaculate Son who came down to die that we could have eternal life. Two thieves hanging on the cross there. They set Him up there naked and unashamed before a world. Pierced that spear into His side and tried to give Him vinegar and all that kind of stuff. Finally, the thieves were there by His side. One of them looked at Him and mocked Him, the Bible says. And the other one, dear friends, he made room for Jesus. He made room for Jesus. He just looked over and he said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. If you're lost here this morning, you're discouraged, you're struggling with life, just ask the Lord to remember you. Remember me, Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom. One went one way and one went the other. Why? Because one made room in his heart for Jesus. Veil of the temple. It's finished! He cries out. This man, 33 years old, was hanging there on the cross. He walked the dusty streets of Galilee, tempted on all points like as we are, yet without sin. Young boys, You tempted with pornography. You tempted with this. What are the girls tempted with? Jesus was tempted with everything that you faced this morning. And he was tempted, but he sinned not. He come forth through that. And I believe the reason was, it's like my brother James said one time, he could have sinned, but he did not because he was the Son of God. I like to leave it at that. He did not because he was the Son of God. Tempted on all points like as we are, but yet without sin. Young people, take courage. Get the books out from underneath the bed or the bale in the barn. We need to make room for Jesus. Amen? Room for Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea came along after Christ finally gave up the ghost. The veil was rent in twain from top to bottom. Then priests and Levites and those fellows are in there. What is going on now? There they were, that veil that they only went behind once a year into the holiest of holies, and that not without blood. And they stood there, and our Lord Savior Jesus hangs on Golgotha's cross. And that temple, as he said, it is finished, was rent in twain from top to bottom, and we had access into the holiest of holies. And friends, this morning, that's for you and for me. The veil has been taken away. The whole Old Testament is proof that man cannot live outside of Jesus Christ. And I like to go back to the 43 prophecies of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Old Testament and see God working and moving through those prophets. And every one of those men who we will see on the other side, are you longing to see, first of all, our Lord and Savior's face, seated there at the right hand of the Father, pleading and interceding for us? See, smile. And then we will be able to see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, all those patriarchs of old, who there stood in time, made sacrifice after sacrifice unto this God of heaven. Therefore, him helping them to understand the blessed privileges that when the veil was rent in twain from top to bottom, that today we can have access into the holiest of holies. We have no excuse this morning. Are you glad you live in the new dispensation? I am. I am glad I live in the new dispensation. Would Dad have got weary taking them goats and sheep and oxen and then turtle doves down to the priests day after day after day? And it only covered their sins. Our sins are cut, are washed. Washed away. If you're here and you're battling with sin and you've asked God to forgive you 10 times, He forgot what you were asking for. Isn't that wonderful? Young fellow shaking his head down here. I used to ask 20 times, Lord, forgive me of this terrible thing that I've done. But Corey Ten Boom says out there in the sea of forgetfulness, there's a sign painted in red. No fishing here. Leave it. If it's forgiven, move on with Him. Move into a closer relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's worth it all. It absolutely is. Leave the sins behind. It takes F-A-I-T-H to believe that. Because the enemy comes along and says, look at buddy, you didn't do what you were supposed to do. You didn't do it right. But no, when you know there's forgiveness between you and Jesus Christ and you fall on your face at your bed or going down the road or wherever it is and you ask God to forgive you, in faith believe that He will. But if we don't believe, He won't. He can't forgive an unbeliever. We must believe. We must believe. Well, it's time to close. The resurrection, on the way to Emmaus, says on the way to Emmaus. There's about 500 seeing Him after the resurrection. This thing about Jesus, they took Jesus and they put Him in that tomb and then they had that little conference there with those soldiers. And the soldiers missed Him by about that far between me and Him. They were there taking care of this tomb and Jesus come up out of that tomb and they missed Him by that far. How far are you missing Jesus? How far are you missing Jesus? And then they went and they had this little conference and they said, tell the people that somebody come and stole the body away. That was quite a conference, right? But you know, they thought this thing of Jesus was going to go away. Things got kind of quiet. 500 had seen Him. And then He'd come into this upper room with this scared and frightened bunch of disciples that were waiting. Thomas, he didn't even believe until he the second time, I think it was, that Christ came there in their midst. And he showed him his hands and his side and so on, and they believe. And Jesus said, blessed are those who don't see and yet believe. How much room do you have for Jesus this morning? Well, they thought they were closing the book on this man, Jesus.
They thought they had him. There was people that didn't want nothing to do with him. Peter actually even cursed him and swore three times before the cock crew twice. And he went out and wept and the bitterness of what Christ told him he was going to do. Peter needed to get out of the way. This big, boisterous Peter needed to get out of the way. And Jesus needed to come in. But Jesus needed a man like Peter. He needed a man. And I tell you, after Pentecost, there was a man that could go. But how many of the churches today find themselves paralyzed in the upper room? We're afraid. We're scared. We hear about this Jesus. We see the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. How many congregations have just enough religion to come together, but not enough passion to go out? Good people, lots of ideas, plenty of good intentions, budgets, meetings, words, promises. But while this is going on, the door remains locked and the story stays a secret. We're just simply this morning, by God's grace, trying to tell the story of Jesus. Friends, it can't stay a secret. Let me tell you something. If Jesus is in your heart this morning and you've made room for Jesus, you won't be able to keep quiet. Amen? Oh, you say, I'm afraid. We're going to talk a little bit more about that in your lesson next Sunday. Well, what are we going to do when they come? Tell you, if it's there, it's going to come out. It's got to come out. Why? Because it's living and it's real. And it's our Savior. And He's going to take us through. Can somebody see that deal on you? There's like old A.W. Tozer said, there was a couple sitting in the congregation one day and they gave the invitation. He looked at his wife and said, what do you think, Mabel? Shall we just go fishing? The invitation came, you know. Yeah. I hope there's none like that here this morning. Let's get this fellow sit down and we can go on about our day. What about the outreach? Understand you're having an outreach here. What about the zeal and the desire for the outreach? You say, well, we can't all go, but we all better be ready to go. Just because there's an outreach don't mean we aren't followers of the Lord Jesus Christ and doing what God asks us to do. Outreach, the church blooms, it blossoms just like it did here. 5,000 souls seeding, Pentecost came along. There's 120 souls in Acts chapter 1. We're waiting for the ushering in of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told them, He said, if I don't go away, the Comforter won't come. So they went up in that upper room and they were waiting for Jesus. They were waiting for the Holy Spirit to come. And the Holy Spirit came down upon them in great power. And Peter went out from that place and he preached the unsearchable riches of Christ and told them, ye need to be born again. And 3,000 souls were brought into the kingdom. You know what, friends? This thing about Jesus Christ was not going to go away. It wasn't long after that they had a group of 5,000 people that gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now what are the authorities going to do? The ones that didn't want nothing to do with Him. Jesus Christ is not going to go away, friends. He's here until He comes back for you and I. And He has planted us here as the light of the world until He comes back. And I asked you, you made the commitment. There's room in my heart for Jesus. And I asked the question, do you need to move over? What needs to be moved over this morning so that Christ can have His way? What locked the doors of the disciples' heart? Simply, they saw Jesus. Go back and remember the first time you ever saw Him. Robe yourself in that moment. Resurrect the relief that you had when you first seen Jesus and realized what He was. Recall the purity. Summon the passion. When times get hard, remember Jesus. When people don't listen, remember Jesus. When disappointment comes, remember Jesus. When death looms, anger singes. When shame weighs heavily, remember Jesus. Are you still in love with Him? Do you love Him? One more thing before we close. These are the men that made room for Jesus. Listen. These are the men. John the Baptist, before Christ, beheaded at the command of Herod, A.D. 32. Stephen, first martyr in the New Testament church, was stoned without the gate of the city, A.D. 34. James, the son of Zebedee, that he called there by the water, he left his nets.
put to death with the sword, A.D. 45. Philip, bound with his head to a pillar and stoned, A.D. 54. James, the son of Alphaeus, brother of the Lord, cast down from the temple, stoned and beaten to death with a club, A.D. 63. You have room for Jesus? Barnabas, companion of Paul's, dragged out of the city and burned, A.D. 64. Mark, the holy evangelist, dragged to the stake, died on the way, A.D. 64. Paul, sorely persecuted and finally beheaded at Rome, our apostle Paul, A.D. 69. Peter, crucified upside down. He asked to be crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to be crucified as his Lord was. Crucified upside down in A.D. 70. Thomas, tormented with red-hot plates, cast into a furnace. His side pierced through with a spear by the savages in A.D. 70. Matthew, nailed to the ground and beheaded, A.D. 70. Simon Zelotes and his brother Judas, that is, the one crucified, the other beaten to death, A.D. 70. Matthias, tied on a cross upon a rock, stoned and beheaded, A.D. 70. Luke was hanged on a green tree, olive tree, A.D. 94. Antipas, the faithful witness of Jesus Christ, burned inside a red hot brazen ox, A.D. 75. John, the evangelist, banished on the Isle of Patmos, the only apostle to live his whole life through, died A.D. 97. Timothy was stoned to death in A.D. 98. You have room for Jesus? This motley crowd that he called together to be his followers is the same Jesus that's calling us today. Let's kneel for prayer.